Okay.
She'll take these away.
No.
Okay, I give you my peace. Let's pray. Father of love, we come before you first, and we bow our hearts to you and our knees, and in humble reverence and praise do we bring our love to you. We lay it at your feet, and we thank you for all the kindness you have showed us in the last month since our last meeting. But also, Father, our thankfulness is also granted to you for always blessing us and giving us the things that we need to get us through our natural life and our spiritual life. And also, Father, for allowing us to come into your home today to receive sacrament and word. See the hearts of our fellow guardians and family that have gathered here with us. It is our pleasure to serve them this evening. And I pray, Father, as we knock on your heart's door, that you'll provide a special strength for us. You have already given a special word, which we will read. And that, Father, you give us insight to that which it is you want us to do in the future. We pray for peace over all the hearts here that are connected and angels to stand watch so that nothing interferes at all. And if there is something, Father, that's troubling someone, then, Father, please give them the strength to bear it and help that it doesn't take away from this evening's meeting. Cover those who are not able to connect with us. They may connect a little later. We pray that they still receive a full portion of blessing as the rest of us do as well. If we have forgotten something, then I know you'll cover it. I pray for the leaders of our church, Father, and all the things that are happening in the world, that we can pay attention and see what it is. But that, Father, we do not get wrapped up into them. We do not get distracted by them. But thank you, Father, for all that you give us and all the gifts that we have, which we will utilize for this work. And if, again, we've forgotten something, then I know you'll cover it. According to your will, we bow, and in your name we pray. Please hear us. Amen.
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 All right. Let's start with a meditation session like we always do. Everyone take some deep breaths. Get in the center of your mind. Sweetie, don't close your eyes. I don't want you driving off the road.
Oh, Warren just left.
Yes, she did. Now she's back. Take a big deep breath. Get in the center of your mind. You should all be grounded prior to coming to the meeting. Father said, as usual, come and join him in the grand room by his throne. He is standing in the center of it. He would like us to stand around him and hold each other's hands. He said, we are not going to play Ring Around the Rosy.
Bye.
Take a big deep breath. Father said, if you can, take a moment and see your fellow guardians standing around you in a circle. He wants you to note how everyone is a guardian, but not one of you is the same. We will discuss a little farther what he's talking about. Take a big deep breath, and I'd like you to, if you haven't yet, let go of your week. Let go of your day. If you were frustrated, anxious, irritated, mad, let go of the anxiety. Father is giving us his peace as well. Jesus is walking around behind us, and he is putting his hands on our shoulders, one by one, giving us strength. HS is following behind him, and one by one, he is putting his hand on our heads. And he is giving us wisdom. It is through Father's blessing tonight that he grants us clarity and vision to see this world and the souls that are in it. Take a big deep breath and draw in Father's peace. And relax. Father loves all of you. He said he's proud of you. And he's happy with how far everybody has come in such a short period of time. Even the newest of guardians, they are advancing faster than Triland did. Because Triland had more time than anybody. He's a slow learner, Father said. Thank you. But he's up to speed now. One more big deep breath. Father is filling us with his light and life and his love. You may feel your body freckle a little bit. When you're ready, focus your attention behind your eyes and open them. Okay. I took Father's message last week, and here is what he said. My very dear children, my family, much has transpired in the world as of late. The turmoil builds, the suffering increases, and the end time is drawing to a close. You are my watchmen and watchwomen. I now need you to put your finger on the pulse of the world. What does this mean? I need you to watch mankind. Pay attention to what they are doing. See the souls that are suffering and in pain. Find the lost and abandoned. Be healers and guides. Be guardians and protect. Teach and counsel those around you in your circle. But always keep an open eye when you are in the world. Look at the souls around you, family, co-workers, and the people that pass by you while you're going to places. See them while you are in stores, at the doctors, and even in church. Rise, guardians, and be active. Awaken and work. Most of the time, you ignore those around you and you go about your business. I am asking you to watch them and see all that they do. In time, you will stretch out your hand, my hand of grace, to all and help them find the path to my kingdom and righteousness. The leaders of the church are focused on the members, but they do not see all the need in the world. This is why I created you. Apostles were created to teach the souls in the church. Guardians were created to teach the souls in the world and bring them into the church. Then the Holy Spirit may lead them too. Are you now starting to see a little more of the big picture? Pay attention to not just what is happening in your country, but all what is happening in all countries. When you know what is happening around you, then you can prepare. Be wise and listen. Be mindful and heartfelt. Be loving and supportive. There are things that are missing in this world, and I will bring them out of you and shed them upon the world through you. Again, be active. I love you and support your efforts. Does anybody have any questions?
Triland, I know you had mentioned more than a few meetings back that Father was going to start kind of telling us more about what's going to be happening in the future. So it sounds like perhaps this is a prelude to that.
That is correct. I can tell you, I took this message last Saturday, and then I decided when I went out with Starlight and we went shopping, I told Michael, I said, every store that we go to, I would like you to send a team first to POG. Everybody that's in the store, I would like Marty to ground the store and everybody in it. And then I would like you to send angels to these families, to all of their families' homes, and POG all of them and clear their houses. And then Marty, you gather whatever healers or whatever healing masters you need to help you to ground every single one of their family members. And then I want everybody to go into eternity and get their families that's in eternity. And I shared, well, I asked Starlight the question. Usually when we go into a store, her legs are on fire and she's just miserable. So I said to her, how did you feel? Were your legs hurting when you went to the store? And she said, no. What'd you do? So I shared this with her. Through this act, you and I might not know these people, but we don't have to know them. And I felt in my heart that this is what Father meant when he said, be active, keep your mind and your eyes open, be aware of what's going on around you. And I can be honest with you, I actually was looking at people more than I have. When I've gone into a store, when I drive, I now kind of peer into cars a little bit, not in a creepy way, but just, you know, look to see what's going on with the people. You can tell by looking into somebody's eyes if they're having a difficult time. You can help them. Now, you don't have to wait. I think sometimes that the team thinks that there's going to be some announcement, and then we're going to jump to it and start being active and doing things. It's never going to happen. This is going to be a gradual progression where you're already doing things and then they're just going to increase more. So it'll be great for you to look at your companies where you work, where you live, take care of your family like you already are. For Tristis, you're in a home. You've got plenty of people you can help there, which you already have. But now you can step it up a notch. You can also ask that when you're pogging, that there's a healing component to your pog to soothe and comfort. You can ask that there's a comforting component to the pog. You can be that specific when you feel in your heart that somebody's needing something, some compassion. We are the healers and the guardians that Father's created for this task. And it's a wonderful position for us to be in right now that it doesn't have to be that you and I are waiting for something to happen to help somebody. I'll also encourage you to do this, which I completely forgot about until I took this message and thought about, well, how can we be active in the world when we're in our country? We've been limited for the last year and a half because of COVID. What can we do? And then I suddenly was reminded by HS that when I first started this path, I don't know if you'll remember this, for months, every Saturday, Michael would come to me and take me to a country. And I would stand on a battlefield and I would battle demons and spirits. And we would take them down and we would then appoint commanders and angels to stand fast. I haven't done that for probably 8 or 9 years now. So I decided I would choose a country this morning when I was taking a shower, and I thought, I'm going to take care of France. So I took Michael and the team, and he assembled an army for me, which I would encourage you to do with your lead as well. And we went to Paris, and we walked through the streets, and we pogged everybody we walked by. And then when everything was said and done, I stood in the center of Paris, and I pogged love completely out in all directions to the border line of that city. And then we're going to go through other cities in France. So I would encourage you guardians to pick a country, work it out with your lead, go there and start helping in that capacity. Are we going to be able to fix the world? No, that's not what Father's asking us. He asks us to help those that we can help. And that's why he gave us insight in his chamber, and HS gave us wisdom so we can see things. Does this make sense? Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, it does make sense. And I think back even farther when I almost probably just after I first met Danielle, and you had talked about how the team would be moving across the world and going country to country and teaching princes and kings and how to meditate. Was that doing that type of thing, not necessarily teaching these people how to meditate, but helping the world through the center of our mind rather than traveling, actually physically traveling? Or is it going to be both?
It's got to be both. Right now, it's going to be on a level that they're not completely conscious about. But then in the future, we will be enlisted to actually go then and teach meditation in these countries and teach the leaders of the countries if they're interested. Great point. Thank you. Anybody have any comment or anything? Questions?
You had mentioned a series of things we could add to the POG, and I already forgot it. I wrote down love.
Compassion.
What else?
Compassion, comfort, healing. If I would just, well, let me just stop here. Okay. The part of a deeper understanding that I'm going to get into now for a few seconds is about the life that is within us. What is the life that's within us? It is a part of the Holy Spirit. He places his life into us, and that's what creates for us in the future the glorified body, right? Currently, right now, you and I have an idea of what that's going to be like because we can project ourselves anywhere in the world by a thought. We don't physically have that body yet, but consciously we do, a part of it. We have the ability to understand what that's going to be like, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to teach now for the next 4 months a four-part series about the 12 things that the Holy Spirit does for us. And we'll do three of the 12 each month for the next 4 months. I think, and I felt in my heart that because we just celebrated Pentecost, HS kind of gets the short end of the stick because he gets one day, Pentecost.
Yeah.
And then Father and Jesus, they get the rest of the world, the year, and they're always spoken about and talked about. But I think that we undervalue HS. He is the counselor. When we became guardians, Father took away our spirit, and HS now is the voice in our own head now. He is the one who counsels us. And for the new guardians, you'll get to a point where you get to a certain level, Father's going to take your spirit away from you, and HS will then be your counselor and guide. It's important that you and I build a better relationship with him. And that was the whole reason why I wanted to do this little mini series thing, to appreciate and to remember everything that he does. So I would tell you this, if you're going to do something for the place where you're at, your company, somewhere in the world, I would first invite HS to come with you first and let him motivate you and let him be the one who inspires you to find out what qualities, emotions, or certain things or gifts that you carry that you could utilize in that moment. Ask him. He's our counselor, right? I have in this week probably talked with HS more than I have in a long time. I don't bypass Father and Jesus. I don't cut them short. But HS is there because Jesus sent him for a specific purpose. I was training yesterday with Q and Ultraviolet, and I said to them, we're aware of Father's personality and Jesus's personality, and HS, just like we were a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit, right? Father is a two-part being, and HS is his spirit. He is the essence of who Father is. And then Jesus and HS are one with Father because they do exactly what Father asks of them, and they see things the same way he does. That's why they're one. We can use HS more, and we should. Jesus is there for us too. His purpose and function was to die for mankind and to give Father the ability then to forgive our sins through that sacrifice. HS is the counselor and the guide. And I think we fall more on Father and Jesus, and we forget that HS is there. Focus on him. Any questions? Any other comments? Okay. You are welcome. So, four-part series. Here's the first thing. The Holy Spirit adopts us. I'll read some Bible scriptures to back some of this up. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Because we receive the life of the Holy Spirit, we are no longer part of this world. We are children of God. And that's how Father addressed us tonight. My guardians, my family, he said. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does is he comforts us. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I sat on that for a moment, and that's when I realized we are never alone because HS is in us. Father is in us. Jesus is in us. But ultimately, he is the one who helps us and comforts us. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I've already said all that. Okay? The third thing the Holy Spirit does is he directs our path. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I, Peter, was having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. This is when Peter was going and trying to testify. He's now the chief apostle of the church. And he's doing things, and HS tells him, we got to go with these guys, right? How many times have you and I been put in a position where HS steers the conversation, or he says, you need to go do this? Or he gives us such a drive that you and I need to go do something, contact someone, do a random act of kindness or things like that. That is born out of him. And that only happens when you and I allow him to do his work. Another example was that Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus, then, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So even Jesus resigned himself to HS before he was even sent, because he's always been. So I thought to myself, why am I not able to humble myself to listen to HS when our big brother did as well? Does anybody have any questions or anything you want to add?
So it was said, I think in the scripture, it said that the Holy Spirit is not given to this world. Then how do people come to Jesus then? I mean, without the Holy Spirit prompting them, is it simply their free will and they're finally handing themselves over?
Yes.
And HS doesn't have any part of that?
He can't interfere until they actually resign themselves to the idea.
So once they have it in their mind that they need to turn to Christ and adopt a relationship with him, then HS is allowed to basically guide enter them. Their space. Guide them. Okay. Yes.
Guide them. Correct.
Okay.
But not from internal. Because the only way to receive the Holy Spirit into us is by the laying on of hands of a living apostle. Because the Lord Jesus established it that way, and that's the only ministry that he gave.
Correct.
Right. So then my question is, because I can just see this being a question once things become more interactive with the world.
Yep.
How does that work? You can't have your cake and eat it here too. Here now, come on.
The thing that's interesting, and if you don't mind, Trilane, can I answer this?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so it's interesting if you think about. Father wants every soul to be with him for all eternity, and he created every one of us, every soul. The bride of Christ, relatively speaking, is just a handful of people compared to all of the souls in eternity and everywhere. Right. And so the new apostolic faith with the apostle ministry is there to groom the bride of Christ, who has a job to do with Jesus. So every other soul is still moved and influenced by the Holy Spirit, because Father has a plan for everyone. And he knows all of those who are going to be with him, but they might not get there until a little bit later. So with all of that said, we probably should never get that deep into our conversation, say, well, you have to have living apostles, et cetera, and all of that stuff.
Correct.
That closes the door. And instead, we talk to them about how loving God is and how he wants to be with all souls, and just talk about his love. And we don't judge, and then we talk about our experiences of faith.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Then do we let the leaders of the church then handle the teaching?
No.
The deep understanding teaching.
Think of it this way. So if you get into a conversation with someone and they're really interested, then you go further.
Yeah.
Because anyone who has become new apostolic, eventually we're introduced to our doctrine. And then it is totally different than most Christian faiths. Mm-hmm. But they come in that way. But it was interesting that in the past we would always just blast people that way, and you know, we didn't have a whole lot of you know, success personally.
We were the elitists.
Right, exactly. And we're not. We are just those who happen to be chosen to do a job. And it's a big job to help every other soul to get to Father.
And it's interesting, I can say too, now that I think back on it, when I was actually sealed, because I was sealed as an adult. And for those of you who have been new apostolic all your lives, I feel for you, because you were never able to really experience this. But when I was being sealed, I was standing next to Starlight, and when I was being sealed, my body was literally buzzing. It was an actual physical feeling. So it was an amazing experience to actually have that happen. So I think that that's the type of experience that we can use to tell people, hey, you'll know when you've really been sealed, when the Holy Spirit is prompting you to start learning more, you'll definitely know when it's time. And then when it really does happen, you'll feel it physically.
Yeah, I mean, I was sealed when I was an infant. I don't know. Yeah.
I had a very similar experience to you, Atmos, and I can agree 100%. It's a completely different experience than anything else.
For sure.
If I could add to what Q was saying, about not blasting people with, oh, you need to have living apostles and yada, yada, yada. I shouldn't say yada, yada, but you know what I mean? that talking about the difference between the Holy Spirit being with you and being in you is a great avenue for conversation if the person is open to it. I had a conversation a while ago with a friend who has grown to despise the church because of all these bad experiences that he's had about it, but he's or with it, and but he's still very open to spiritual conversation. And a way that HS gave me these words was so cool. In the conversation, we were talking about the difference between baptism and sealing, because he had heard about holy sealing but hadn't really learned anything about it. And we talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit can be with anyone who is open to faith, but not necessarily within the person or inside the person without being sealed. And then we got into the discussion about living apostles and the process.
Awesome.
Holy sealing.
Nice. Good questions. So I also wanted to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't just direct our path to go and do something. I forgot to read another part. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia, a region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So we have the assurance from HS that he's going to inspire us to go do stuff, but he also may all of a sudden quench or stop us from doing something. So I believe I've told every single one of you from the start, you can't screw this up, right? If you and I trust Father and Jesus and we allow HS to guide us, we will not screw up anything. And through the entire process that this is, to remain humble and remember that what we are servants. Nothing greater, nothing better. We're servants. And that's our main function. Any other questions on this subject? Okay. I'm going to skip over interesting tidbits because we're eating into time and I want everybody to get an opportunity. So I want to officially welcome to the team our 13th guardian, Cindy Ultraviolet. I will be emailing her description plus the other guardians that started. I forgot to send them to Fred so that he can post them on the site. So welcome to the team, Cindy. And as we talked yesterday and I trained you, I told her that when you become a guardian, everything goes right in your world. There's no issues.
Yeah, you should see her right now.
There's the wink and the nod.
It's not the job description I got.
Okay. So can I give you a quick update? Went to Niles this morning to hold the service, and Joel Goble was there, and he's a physician. He's an ear, nose, and throat, but he's pretty smart. And his wife has cancer, and the medication that Cindy is on is an inhibitor. It's a T3 inhibitor. That's what it is. And she did not get her shot on time, and she was late by 4 weeks. And he said, that's the problem right there, because those T cells just took off, and now they're kind of ravaging her system. She's getting swollen places and hot and painful places all over. Last night, or after the day yesterday, her face was swollen right here, and she didn't go to church. And so, you know, she's just dealing with all of this stuff, and he says that she needs a prednisone injection, like, as soon as possible to help her body to just fight this back. So that's at least some good news, but the bad news is she feels like crap. She hurts everywhere.
Welcome to the team.
Yeah.
Thank you. I like the initiation, or is it a hazing?
It's both. Yeah.
Okay.
And cool. It's not over yet.
Okay. Good to know.
You're getting prayed for, though. We certainly will pray for you.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yes.
It's got to be some bonus being on the team. All right. Religions of the Trisis. What are we going to talk about?
Confucianism. Everybody's heard about Confucius, right? There's been lots of jokes over the years about Confucius. I had fun reading about this one because every place that I went, I start on Wikipedia, and then I like go to other places just because Wikipedia is just people's opinions. I have to say, everything was pretty much in line. This man lived many thousands of years ago, and his way of life and the way he wanted to live still holds true. What's interesting is Confucianism is an English made-up word. Chinese don't use that word. There's no word. But I'll go over this. There's about five pages, but basically he was a very simple man. He didn't really think his ideas or his way of life was anything special. During his lifetime, that parts of China were in warring states. It really was not organized. This was prior to the dynasties and all that we know of. Some people think it's a secular system. Some people think it's a religion. Others think it's a social code. And if you go into it, it really is all that. If I think of Confucius and Confucianism, I think of a very peaceful, honorable man. Obviously, he did something right to be celebrated. It's interesting. The Confucianism is if you're a Christian, you can follow it. If you're a Buddhist, you can follow it. If you're a Muslim, you can follow it. There's really no hard set rules. It is used across all of China, Asia. You can find it from Vietnam all the way through Tibet and everywhere in between. I highlighted a few parts that I want to read. He had a faith in the cumulative power of culture. He believed that our past could literally help us in our present and future lives. His sense of history was so strong that he saw himself as a conservationist responsible for the continuity of the cultural values and social norms that had worked so well in the past that he felt it could help the modern dynasty, and at the time the Zhou or Zhou, it's called, dynasty. You have to understand at that time when he was born, everything had fallen apart. All the big dynasties were gone. And he basically was a hermit. He basically moved around trying to find a way of life and a way of living. He was never rich, but no one was rich during this time. This part of China's history was very sad. Well, it's actually kind of sad now, but for different reasons. Poor, everybody was dirt poor. He was born in 551 BCE, and I'll leave you to pronounce all these Chinese names. His father died when he was 3 years old. His mom, there really is no mention of his mother. Let's see, I'm trying to read my notes here. Oh, he basically supported his mother until she died when he was around 23. So here's this guy who really didn't have much of an existence, no real teachings. And that kind of left him open to find a way of life. He technically, if you want to look back, the historical references, they go back and they want to see really when did he decide to start doing what he did. That was, between 772 and 476 BCE. It's interesting. There's a school of thought called the 100 schools of thought. I thought, holy mackerel, I'm never going to be able to write down 100. It's not literal. It means a lot. He tried to understand what was needed to just live a good life. He really didn't considered a religion. He really wasn't involved in government. But he wanted to try to find a way to bring people that had nothing. I mean, nothing, like not even clothes. If you read some of the things that people were going through, these people just would lay down and die. There was no point to them even trying. That's how poor it was. But he tried to bring all the big listings of religion to one place for people to understand. And again, back then, not only a lot of people read, just like in you know, the English history, it was word of mouth. Fred, scroll up a little bit. I want to go down a little bit further on that page. There, you can see where Confucianism is listed along with Taoism, legalism, school of names, yin yang school. All of these were disciplines that could be followed and were available for the young people at the time to learn. He basically had the top well-known philosophy, for lack of a better word. I'm looking here. He really couldn't convince anybody of his way of doing it, anything, until he was about 68 years old. So from 23 to 68, he tried. Can you imagine spending most of your life trying to get people just to listen? Basically, when he died, it was just one of many things that could be taught in China and throughout that part of Asia. I wanted to scroll on a little bit farther. I want to get into it because there's so much I could cover, but I know I have limited time. What is Confucianism? His philosophical vision was very simple. Human beings are innately good. Good being defined as understanding the difference between right and wrong and inclined naturally to choose what is right. That's what he believed. This claim could be proven by how many people reacted to others in times of trouble. You think about all the things that we've come across, and I've never come up on an accident, but when I was healthy, I would assume I would get out and try to help. You know, look at 911 and how many people helped. Look at you know, what's just happening now in the pandemic. How many people want to help? It's astounding how that crosses religion and colors and creeds. Everybody wants to help. If you have some, here, have some of mine. That's basically what his philosophy was. That's why a lot of people thought that Confucianism was a religion, but it wasn't. Basically, he tried to take some well-known Chinese philosophies. Go down a little bit farther, Fred. They were known as the Five Constants and Four Virtues. This is where I fell into a rabbit hole and spent hours trying to read about this. It's very difficult not to just dive into it because it's so fascinating. But if you can see benevolence, righteousness, ritual, knowledge, integrity, filial piety. I had to read that because I had no idea what that meant. A loyalty, contingency, justice, righteousness. I read a little bit about this, what filial piety. It's the virtue of honoring the elders in your family. And very simply, he wrote more about it. He said, people were encouraged to honor and respect their parents and observe the hierarchy of authority, where the son obeyed the father's wishes, the younger brother respected and deferred to his older brother. Did you hear that? No, I'm just kidding. And women did the same as men. In this way, the family would live harmoniously. And then you carry that out outside your family. You carry that outside in your community. And then outside, you know, the village. And basically, he said, if everybody lived that way, we'd have a perfect society. And I had to write this down, and then I'll just go into the conclusion. But Confucius writes, if people be led by the laws and uniformity sought to be given and just by punishments, they will avoid the punishment, but will have no sense of shame. So basically, there's the law, and if you don't, you know, do the law, you get punished. But he said, if they are led by virtue, and a uniformity sought to be given to them by the rules of propriety, meaning being good, they will then have the sense of shame and moreover become good. That's interesting because that's almost something that we believe, right? You're not just doing the law because you don't want to get punished. You want to do it because you want to be better. Scroll on the conclusion there, Fred. There were a lot of books that were written about his life afterwards, and you can see that the doctrine of Mean, the Analects of Confucius, works of I can't pronounce it, Mencius, the I Ching, all of these things were used after his life to try to have people understand, and then they were added. And at the time too, you got to remember the philosophers and teachers were paid. You didn't just get this for free. So that's how these folks lived. So there were a lot of people trying to glom onto his name and try to, you know, oh, this is what he thought. No, this is what he thought. And then it's very interesting. There were even wars fought about what Confucius thought. But in general, Confucius sought to understand the actual situation of a given time and to use that as his point of departure, meaning he would try to look and see what was around us and go from there. It ties in great to what Trilin said about the Holy Spirit, where I asked in general what to do, and he said, well, the Holy Spirit will lead us. That's all Confucius really wanted to do, was to impart wisdom. He never wrote really anything. He considered himself an average guy. He was not smart. But look what his legacy left for that part of the world before Jesus even started teaching. So I encourage you to look at this. I know I say that about the other ones, but really look at this and read this, because it'll give us a better understanding of what we have to do. He was just a guy walking around trying to make his community and his world better. And I think that's a great example for us. So thanks.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes, questions. There, I can see everybody. Hey, yeah, maybe next time, Fred, don't share until we need it, because now I can see everybody, unless that's only the way it's showing up on my computer.
Nope, it's on mine too. Okay. Everybody looks so cute and attentive.
Look at that. Everybody's got suntan except for Susan. Tranquility, get out in the sun. Vitamin D.
All right. Thank you, Trisus. I sent an email out if anybody had any experiences they'd like to share. Tranquility said she does. And then Nuke, you'll go after Tranquility. And then Trisus, you'll go after Nuke. So Tranquility, okay. Please.
All right. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Because you've been cutting in and out this whole time, so I wasn't really sure. So something's been really weighing down heavy on my heart, and I wanted to share it with all of you. It's not so much an experience, but perhaps you've even heard it on the news, because I understand it's gone worldwide. But it was something that's happened in Canada, and it's rather shameful. And I made some notes just to give you, it's really a heavy topic, but I really want you to get an understanding, and you'll understand why at the end. So there were 139 residential schools that were government operated, but run by various denominations for Indigenous children from the late 1800s to the 1960s. The majority were run by Catholics, but also the Anglican Church, the United Church, and Presbyterians. Over the course of their existence, around 150,000 Indigenous children were in residential schools nationally. Schools were intentionally located far from Indigenous communities to minimize contact with their families. They wanted to deculturalize the children. Children were forced to speak English, and if they spoke Cree, their language, they were beaten. Many were taken forcefully from their homes and put into these schools. Beatings and verbal abuse was justified as a means of saving the child's soul and civilize the savage. The nuns punched children in the face and beat them. Many were raped or sexually molested. Some children tried to run away, and when they were caught, they were strapped, had their heads shaved, and were forced to spend hours in a dark closet or boiler room. They were forced to eat inedible food, and when they couldn't digest the food and they vomited, they had to eat their vomit.
Oh,
There was overcrowding, poor sanitation, inadequate heating, lack of medical care resulting in influenza and TB outbreaks. 4,100 deaths were recorded. So now we're going back, we're going up to 2021, and a few weeks ago, 215 Indigenous children were found in unmarked graves in Kamloops, BC. They were found in a mass grave. The Indigenous people have been, I wouldn't say demanding, but they want to know where a lot of the children went. And so they're using our special radar to try to find the children. And they're scoping the residential schools, and that's where they found 215. Then another 104 were found in Manitoba. So BC is a province in Canada. Manitoba is another province. And then I did a little bit of math. So I figured, okay, if 100 children died and were placed in unmarked graves, it would amount to 13,900 more deaths. So what I was thinking was, we're getting very close to the service for the departed. And I thought how difficult it must be for these children to accept the fact that, number one, that we're here to help them, because you think they were beaten, they were raped, they were tortured by priests and nuns and people, not just from the Catholic Church, from other faiths too. And I thought to myself, they're fully justified in feeling that way. They were tortured by the church. And then also I was thinking, you know, that it is very difficult, definitely for our brothers and sisters that are working in the realms to convince these children that, yes, they are loved and that there is hope. And then I'm not sure if it was Triland or if it was the District Apostle Krauss, but I remember one of the ministers saying at the time that he had a vision and he saw the Indigenous people, and they were in a realm and they were almost up to their necks in excrement, and they had ropes hanging around their neck, and they were asked, you know, we can come, we can help you. There is salvation for you. Why do you find yourself in a state like this? And they said, we just cannot forgive. And I thought to myself, now with all this coming to light, it makes a little bit more sense too, of all the atrocities that they had to go through, that their children had to go through, and they're still going through. So I guess it's not as much as an experience as a petition, because it's been weighing on my heart for weeks now. If we could all please pray for those souls, the Indigenous souls, that they can find salvation, that they can feel loved, and also that the souls that go to invite them, that they can convey that love, because I think it'll be a very, very difficult task for them.
We sure can.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I have a question. So you mentioned the Cree, but do you have any idea how many different populations there were in Canada?
So this was total. It wasn't just the Crees, but it was it was any Indigenous children, ages somewhere as young as 3 years old, up to 15 years old, that were taken into these homes. And I've heard horrible stories. I haven't been able to verify it, but that some of the girls became pregnant, and then they would throw the unborn into the furnace, or the babies into the furnace. So it's just beyond my comprehension. But it wasn't just the Cree, it was all the Indigenous children that they were taken away. And they said the parents would move their tents to be closer to the schools. And so what they did was they just moved the schools, or they moved the kids to places where their parents couldn't even see them.
You know, and when you think about this, the feelings that we have right now, I mean, we're upset, you know?
Yeah.
We have to get past that in order to be able to help them.
True. Very true.
You know, there's two sides to every story. So I can't imagine the people that actually did that to those children and where they're at right now, too.
Good point.
Yeah, that's right. We'd have to be praying for them, too. You know, I couldn't help, at the time when I read it, I couldn't help thinking what you said, Tryland, that, you know, the Catholic Church is the devil's church. And yet there's so many things that we're hearing that you just think, how could someone that is supposed to convey love and kindness and you know, the attributes of the Holy Spirit, how could they even do such a thing? So.
Right. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Nuke?
Yeah. So I had a couple experiences, but I'll just share one because I know we're short for time. A few nights ago, I was putting Noah down at bedtime, and every night and every morning that I get Noah up and putting him down for a nap, what have you, I spend time with Father, with Noah, with me. And this particular time, the three children that we had miscarried were with us. I mean, they're always with Noah, which is great, but their names are James, Lila, and Mila. And I was talking to them near Father, and I was telling them how much I love them and how proud I am of the work that they're doing in eternity. And I said at one point, I can't wait for the day that I get to hold you all like this. And Noah was sleeping on my chest at that point. And Father looked at me and said, why wait? And they, with the amount of time that they've been in eternity, the amount of work that they've done, the way I see them or the way they appear to me is as adults, typically. But at this point, they shrunk down to Noah's size. And they all climbed onto my chest and we all hung out and cuddled. And it was so cool.
We're all smiling. That's fantastic. Cool. We all have something in our eye.
Yeah. Stupid draft in my room.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Traces?
So, you know, I've been hanging out with Jesus for a few years here and there. We're on the boat again, popping a few beers. This week, Father said he wanted to join. I went, okay. And it was a morning session. I said, I really don't feel comfortable drinking beer in the morning. And Father said, we can have coffee. I went, okay. And Holy Spirit said he wanted to come too, and I went, okay. So normally Jesus and I just go from the center of my mind in my living room, and we pop just onto the boat. And Father said, let's walk this time. Well, then I have to create all of this in my mind, this whole path now, down from the side of the house, down to the boathouse, as I'm talking to him. It was quite fun. I was, you can imagine, like, everything just kind of zipping in place as we're walking. So the four of us walked down to the boat, and had a nice session. But what I wanted to bring up was earlier in the month, I had was really trying to spend more time with Jesus, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't get it. And I was in a lot of pain. And finally, it was a Thursday, and I thought, okay, we're going to do it. And normally, we go to the center of my mind. We sit in the living room, and I sit in the chair. He faces me, and he runs energy through my legs. He runs energy through my neck, my back, and then we chit-chat a little bit, and that's pretty much it, about a half hour. did that Thursday, did that Friday, and I woke up Saturday and I was sad. I mean, like, really sad. And I thought, this is just, why am I sad? I mean, I went through everything. There's nothing weird happening, nothing in our family, nothing in the home, nothing's weird. And all I heard was, it wasn't me. And I thought, it wasn't me. And I said, Jesus, you what? He goes, it wasn't me. And I thought, what? It didn't comprehend. He goes, it wasn't me. I said, was it Satan? He goes, no, one of his minions. He's training them to mimic my energy. Oh, great. I had a demon in my space for 2 days running energy through me. That's probably why I felt sad. So I contacted Trial, and he says, Pog, Pog, Pog. And I said, even there wasn't a doubt. And he's like, Pog. So Jesus fakes going like this now, you know, when I Pog him. I didn't Pog Father because I figured I could trust that was Father. Didn't Pog the Holy Spirit. But I just give this to you. Do you?
Oh, yeah. I Pog Father all the time sometimes.
It
can hurt him.
What'd you say?
It won't hurt them.
Oh, right. I've never felt so violated in my life. I mean, and I've been through 3 divorces, so I felt very, very sad. Very, like, what the? I wanted to go hunt it down, but I didn't. I'm going to just let him, I'll figure out where he is, and I'll get him later. But I don't want to be vengeful, right?
No, you don't.
So eventually we'll meet up again. But I just share this with you to test and test and test. And don't just assume, because it sucked. It really sucked. It's taken, yeah, probably about 10 sessions for me to just get back to where I was. On a side note, I had asked Father a couple years ago, when am I going to be healed? And I didn't say darn it, but it was implied, darn it. And he said 2 years. So I can't talk. June is 2 years. Now it's 2 years. So I said, what's going on? He said, it's not ready if people are not ready. He said, sooner than soon, very soon. I said, okay, weeks, months, years. He said, less than a month. So pray, please. I'm tired.
Sorry, Rao.
I'm really tired. It gets harder every day. I can barely move. My hands are numb. Thanks. That is all.
Every day. Every day.
I know you do. I know you do. I'm not telling you anything different. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Can we do anything else for you?
I'm on a ton of medicine. The doctors can give me more. I don't want to be numb. I don't take it. I just take the nerve pills, you know, because it whacks me out. I can't move. It's too strong. So I'm good, though. I mean, I have good days. It's not like I, you know, I mean, I'm in a wheelchair, so it's not like I have to walk, but I notice it's getting really difficult just to turn over in bed and to open up a can of pop or I to feed myself. Now I have to keep my arms on the table because I can't lift up my hands to my face. It's quite funny. Mm-hmm. I can still open a beer though. So not all is lost.
All right. Good. There is hope.
You're prayed for.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes.
We think about you often. Yeah. So
thank you.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Maybe everybody on the team should just Pog you.
Put their hands on you. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Come on down to Florida. We're just starting with some hurricanes, so it'll be fun. We'll all be held up in the building. We got plenty of food.
There you
concrete
go.
Building. It ain't going nowhere, so this is probably the safest place in the community. Come on.
All right. So just to finish two things. Don't forget that I gave you my piece when I gave you power and authority. Don't forget to share that with other people. You don't have to be so formal. You can plug in from a distance and just think to yourself, I'm sending some peace their way. We can send it to each other too. I am constantly asking Father to give me peace, help me stay focused, help me to control my emotions, help me to not be Jim. And sometimes I fail miserably, as we all do. Sometimes we succeed. But don't forget to share the peace. There's plenty to go around. Service for the Departed is 3 weeks away, as Tranquility already brought up. I would encourage all of you to go into eternity. Ask Jesus, where should I go? And he'll tell you what realm needs us the most. And I'll be honest with you, you don't have to go and preach. All we have to do is show up, walk around, pog a few people. The light and life that Father gave us today is the same life and light he gave us when we were created as guardians and given you the commission. And now you and I can go into eternity and we can just be there. And they will soak up Father's love and light from us. Okay? The Wildermans are having a fun time over there.
I'm sorry. Your camera froze and you had the goofiest smile on your face.
It's true.
You look like
a two-foot
tall man.
I'm sorry. I'm glad I can amuse you.
I can't help it.
It's all good.
You were being in crisis because you had that big smile on your face.
Well, at least we're laughing. All right. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to share? Make a point? Okay. Birthdays this month. Tranquility will celebrate on June 27th. So we wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy 29th.
Your 29th anniversary? Your 50th?
Oh, it's bigger.
Our next meeting will be July 11th, and I asked Quasar if he would close in prayer. Quasar.
Oh. There's an empty spot. He walked away for a second.
He walked away. All right. Was he getting the Bible so he can thump it?
You're muted. That's my like the battery turning around.
My battery is at 11%. I ran downstairs thinking that I could just get it, but I'm at 9% now. We'll be okay.
All right. Pray quick.
Right. Loving Father, we come to you again, and we are happy and thankful for everything you've done for us and all that you do for us and for our future. We don't see it. You see everything beautifully. Help us that we are always in a perfect oneness with you, with the Lord Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with each other, our fellow teammates, with our brothers and sisters in faith, the apostolate. Let it be, dear Father, that we truly allow Holy Spirit to move us in everything that we do and all that we need. And dear Father, we know that we don't have to be drastic in that which we do. We simply have to love the soul. When we come in contact with someone, that we are just open to allow you to shine through into their heart. Help us that we take that seriously, even more, that we can do better in helping more souls.
It's beautiful how we've been asked now to help more and more often. Help us to be able to remember that and know exactly what lives in your heart that we can accomplish your will. Dear Father, we especially remember all of our fellow guardians here. It seems like every one of us have something that is difficult that we have to deal with. But dear Father, we have to be healthy and strong. Help us to help each other and help us to strengthen each other. And when we remember each other, that we send that energy. It's beautiful. When we think about the power that you've given us, help us that we use it. Bless all richly in everything that they do. Help us with all that we need. Let it be that for the service for the departed that is coming up, that everyone who we've talked about this evening and so many more will be able to be there and that they can know you. It is so sad that souls entered into eternity not knowing you truthfully and thinking the opposite. Father, help us to forgive those who did it so that we can show them how. Bless us in our future. Help us in protecting the bride, but we can't wait till we become the bride. Let your will be done always in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Love you guys. Have a great week.
Love you. Thanks.